So I would like you to open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And it's funny, these few verses here have been on my mind for several weeks. And as I was studying and thinking about what to preach on, and I thought, did I already preach on this? Because it's been on my mind so much lately. I don't think I have, but honestly, I didn't go back and look at my notes. So if I've preached on it recently, well, you're going to get it again this morning. But the title of the message today is, what is your first reaction? Sometimes in a moment of crisis, you kind of see what you're really made of, I'm often reminded, because I don't know what I'm made of all the time, and how I always react, but we've had a few moments of like panic and crisis in our life, and so far by the strength of the Lord, I've reacted pretty well. Now, I don't want to say I'm always going to react well, but I remember when Hayden was little and he got basically ate by a treadmill and everybody's screaming and freaking out and everything. And I just picked him up in my arms and took him to another room, got him away from everybody and started trying to figure out what I need to do to help. Everybody crying and freaking out, get away from me. Let me examine him and see what we got to do from here. By the power of God, I was okay in that, when he broke his arm, rushing him to the hospital and everything, I was good, until they said he's got to have surgery right away. And then I started to break a little bit. So, we all have our moments, but what I want to ask you is, what is usually your first reaction? And here, it's Jesus calms the storm, and so we're about to see what the disciples' reaction was. Verse 35, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And you understand, Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side." Verse 36, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" I think sometimes in our tragedies of life, sometimes when we're in the storms of life, have you ever felt that way? Jesus, are you listening at all? I'm praying and I'm not hearing you. Lord, I'm praying and I have faith. I think I have faith, but man, this storm just keeps getting worse and worse and the waves keep getting bigger and bigger and you're up here asleep. You act like you're not even worried about me. Verse 39, he got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." And what my question to you is your first reaction fear in a crisis, in a panic situation? I mean, what is the first thing that grips you? Is it dread? Is it, "Oh my goodness, we're all going to die here," or is it, "Okay, God's got us"? The other night we were all sitting in the living room. This was a couple weeks ago, and we weren't going anywhere, and so people were bringing us stuff. And my brother was supposed to be bringing us some Gatorade or something that night. I don't remember. And we were all sitting in the living room, and we heard this noise. And I promise you, it sounded like my brother had thrown a box of Gatorade or something across the front porch, like a sliding sound. And then in my mind, I thought the door handle jiggled. We all jumped because we weren't expecting it. It's dark out. It's like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. And Crystal's like, "What was that?" And I'm like, "Oh," I said, "I bet that was my brother just messing with us." She's like, "Not funny," because she scared her. And it made me jump too. Well, then I don't hear nothing. And I thought, okay, that's weird. So I go to look, and it's not my brother. And nobody's there. And I started thinking, what's going on? So I'm getting the floodlights going. I told Hayden, go grab your gun. I don't know, you know. I mean, we've got a history out there of things not being how they should be. Grab your gun, and let's see what's going on. I'm walking all around. I see nothing. And we're like, maybe it was an animal, like running from something and slid up on the porch and made this noise. And I don't remember if it was Hayden or Madeline that said, I think it came from the closet, Dad. And I'm like, no, it was the front door. It was Hayden. He said, I think it came from the closet, Dad. And I'm like, no, it come from the front door. But you know noises and when you're not expecting it. And come to find out, it was games and cards that we had taken on vacation somehow fell. And it was the cards sliding and these games sliding down in the closet. I don't even know what caused them to fall. It was nobody at the front door, nothing. Okay, but that reaction was someone's trying to come in our front door. Someone's messing with us. And just for a moment, fear. What is that? You know, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes things will frighten me. And sometimes even circumstances frighten me and get the best of me. The waves crashing in, and I wonder, God, are you listening? I'm not saying that we shouldn't cry out to Jesus. The disciples, they cried out to Jesus, help us. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't cry out to Jesus. But they cried out in fear instead of in faith, right? And I wonder how many times we're crying out to Jesus in fear instead of in faith. Does that make sense this morning? That I wonder sometimes if God's up in heaven going, you've seen my miracles. You've seen me take care of you. But you're always in fear. You're always in torment. You're always in worry. And I want to go back to Exodus. Chapter 5, we're going way back here, Exodus chapter 5, and sometimes when the waves and the problem, they're so big that we can't see God at work. And when we're praying sometimes, it seems like, have you ever been praying and it seems like it's just getting worse? Like, wow, God, I don't understand. Things just continue to get worse. And I've been thinking about the Israelites a lot. And sometimes I think in our arrogance, we act like, oh, we'd never do like the Israelites. They seen the miracles and yet they still didn't trust God. But when you're in a circumstance, it's hard sometimes to see past the circumstance and to know that God's there. And so Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the God of Israel says, let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the God or the Lord, and I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifice to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword. But the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. And then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working. That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and foremen in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out. Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for them so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies. Now, wait a minute. God had heard their cries. And he sends Moses to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And what happens? Things get worse. Things get worse. Have you ever been in a circumstance where you felt like God may have told you to go and talk to somebody? Maybe it was a boss, maybe it was a coworker, maybe it was a family member, but you really felt like God said, go and try and make amends, or go and try and make things right. And it seems like when you did, it just made everything even worse. Or maybe you've been in something in your life and you just keep praying and things just continue to get worse. They'd already been crying out to God, and here Pharaoh's saying, now we're going to bring down the hammer. We're going to make things even harder. Verse 10 says, then the slave drivers and the foreman went out and said to the people, this is what Pharaoh says, I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all. So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, complete the work required of you for each day. I'm losing my spot here. Just as when you had straw. The Israelites' foremen, appointed by Pharaoh's slave drivers, were beaten and were asked, why didn't you meet your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before? So things are getting worse. So here they're supposed to be getting delivered. They're supposed to be taken out. And things continue to get worse. Then the Israelites' foreman went and appealed to Pharaoh, why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet you are told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people. Pharaoh said, lazy. That's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. Church, I don't know, maybe you've not been there, but if I don't want to, we've all gone through things, you know, but I thank God of where my attitude's at today. If I could tell you the last month of my life, everything that's been going on, from a spiritual sense, from a physical sense, just to give you a little example of how things been going, okay? And not only has the family been sick, I've been dealing with things from the past. I've been dealing with where Satan's putting thoughts in my head, the shaking of the door. Is that Satan? You know, I mean, just all these thoughts, all these things. And yesterday, I'm trying to get everything done before I go back to work tomorrow, and I go to mow my stepmom's. And I thought, it's nice and cool, it's early in the morning, I'm going to start off weed eating. I started weed eating, and y'all, I hadn't weed eaten 5 minutes, and I felt something, and I thought, is that rocks hitting me or something? I looked down, and both my shoes are completely covered in fire ants. And they're biting me, tearing me up. And I'm up on a hillside weed eating, and I just take off my shoes and begin to wipe them, knock them off as fast as I can, socks. And so then I'm up on this hillside weed eating. My shoes are completely covered in ants. And so I got to walk down the hill barefooted, drive all the way back home to get different shoes and socks because I couldn't get all the ants out. There were so many of them. Drive back and go to weed eat again. And you know what? I started feeling sorry for myself. I got all this work to do, all this stuff to do. And then I just began to laugh. And I said, thank you, God, for all your blessings, though. But y'all, sometimes it just seems like, yeah, that's a little thing. I'm fine. Got a few bites. Got some itch cream on, you know. But it was just another thing, you know. Just another thing after another thing after another thing. And sometimes even those little things add up. And I'm praying. And it's funny because Tim kind of has taught me this. And I stumbled a few weeks ago. And I said, God, hit me again. So that I'll have success, so that I'll know I have victory. And you know what? Then I was hit again, and then I'm going, God, please stop. Help me. I don't want to give in anymore. I don't want to even have temptation. I don't even want to have these thoughts. Sometimes things get worse before they get better, and they're saying, you're lazy. They're beating them. Verse 17, Pharaoh said, lazy, that's what you are, lazy. That is why you are saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. The Israelite foremen realized they were in trouble when they were told, you are not to reduce the number of bricks required for you each day. When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, may the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. You ever been there? You feel like you're trying to do what's right. And even the people that you feel like you're trying to do what's right for begin to attack you then. You know, sometimes you're trying to do what God tells you. They're doing what God tells them. And then even the people they're trying to help begin to attack. That's common. That's common. Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Why have you so little faith? Why are you so fearful? Why are you so worried? Sound familiar? I mean, that's what we read in Mark. They were there with Jesus here. Moses had been given a direct order from God to go do this. And they're saying, but God, what you're saying isn't happening. What you're saying isn't taking place. And the disciples are scared when the waves are crashing in on them and there's a storm coming. And the Israelites are saying, Moses, you're just making things worse for us. Can I tell you, we have to come against what our flesh desires to react. And stand on the truth of God. Did I say that right? Because my flesh desires to fear. My flesh desires to worry. My flesh says, we're in trouble. The waves are big. My flesh says, wow, things are getting worse and worse and worse. God, where are you? But what we have to learn to do is conquer that and begin to stand on the truth of the Word of God. Last week, I don't know how many of you watched last week, but I talked about in Hebrews 13 when he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Do we stand on that? God, you said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. No matter what the circumstances are we believing that God's there? No matter how big the waves are we believing that God's there? And what happens when someone gets scared? What do you want to do? You want to grab hold of somebody, right? Little kid, you want to grab somebody's hand, you want to hold their hand, you want, if you're a little kid, what do? You reach up for mom and dad, take me in your arms, you know, you want someone there to grab hold of. I never will forget when I was 17, 18 or so, a bunch of us teenagers decided to go to a haunted house, so to speak, and I don't know, 15, 20 of us went out on these back roads. There was this house out there that we were going to go and explore. And there was a guy that was a year older than me. And y'all, he was so scared. He wouldn't let go of me. I had him on one side and Crystal on the other side scared. And we were about halfway up to the house. And this guy was so scared and had a hold of me so tight. I said, y'all, if y'all don't want to go in, stay in the car. But you know what? They wouldn't even stay in the car without me going back to the car with them. And so I had to go back to the car with Crystal and this guy because he was so scared. He was older than me. He had a grip on me. Everybody else went in, looked around. There was nothing there. They said it's dangerous. There's an open well in the house and somebody could fall in and get hurt. It wasn't even a big deal. You know, just kids, teenagers or whatever doing stupid stuff. And but he was so scared he had a hold of me and Crystal did too. And y'all, when we're scared, that's what we want to do. We want to grab hold of something. We want someone there with us. God says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. In Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in trouble. You hear that? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. The Lord is a strong tower. Are we running to Him? Are we putting these verses in our mind? Do we have some verses that we grab hold of? Psalm 16:1, keep me safe, my God, for in You I take refuge. See, I think that's key there. I take refuge in You, God. I don't take refuge in my circumstances. My circumstances could be getting worse, just like with the Israelites. My circumstances could be getting worse. The waves could be higher and higher, and it seems like the world's caving in on me. Where's my refuge? My refuge is in God. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. So what do we need to do, y'all? We need to be grabbing hold of these verses, or any verses that we can apply to our life, and getting them in our hearts, getting them in our mind to build our faith. So that our first reaction isn't fear, isn't dread, isn't worry, isn't fret, but our first reaction is, keep me safe, God, for I take refuge in You. Never will You leave me. Never will You forsake me. To saturate our hearts, to saturate our minds with this. And y'all, I'm not talking about, and here it's not talking about hearing the message, and the message is the Word of God. You can hear something and not know it. Have any of y'all ever been listening to a teacher teach, and you're hearing what they're saying, but you're not understanding a word they're saying? You know, you're listening, but you're not understanding. See, this is understanding the Word of God. It's applying it to your life. It's not just hearing it, but it's applying it to your life. Mark 4:40 says, He said to His disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Do you need faith this morning? Do you need your confidence renewed in the Lord? Are you struggling? Is the valley seem deep? Is the oceans and the waves seem high? Y'all, maybe this message is just for me this morning, because you guys know the things I've been going through. But I don't believe that I'm alone, that I need to grab hold of God's Word and embed it deep in me. And maybe right now you're not going through a trial or struggle or anything, and that's the time that you really need to understand these verses and grab hold of them, so that when you're in the middle of the storm, you don't sink. I was reading, and I really tried to summarize this, but this lady was talking about her struggle with fear and anxiety, and I kind of summarized what she said, and I thought it was really good. She said, I read words of life, of truth, soaking them in over and over, praying them out loud. I like that. She kept reading the truth of God, soaking it in and even praying it out loud, until they became so familiar they replaced the other things in my mind. I thought, wow, that's so true. Because if you're feeding on fear, you're feeding on dread, you're feeding on everything wrong in the world, then you're going to have all that fear and all that dread. But she fed on the Word of God, soaking it in, so that those were the things that came into her mind. She said, change began to happen. Anxious thoughts began to diminish. Worry let go of its constant grip. And fear no longer had control. She says, I can relate to that constant drip of fear, that constant drip of worry. But when we stand on the Word of God, something amazing can happen, and that God can take us and deliver us out of all that. Isaiah 41:10, last verse. He says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wherever you're at today, if you're walking in victory, praise God. Saturate your life with the Word of God. If you're walking in fear and dread, get out of it. begin to grab hold of these verses. Grab hold of the verses that the Lord directs you to. Open up the Bible if you're struggling in a certain area. If you're struggling with the fear, with the anxiety. But church, I hear fear out of so many people's mouths every day. And I battle it myself. But I would like our first reaction to change, to not be fear, to not be, Jesus, are you asleep? Do you even care about us? That even when the trials are getting long and even when it seems like things are getting worse, that we would know that God is faithful, that He'll never leave us, that He'll never forsake us, that we should not be dismayed because He says, I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I believe there is so many that are struggling right now. There's so many that are battling this. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that are living each and every day in fear and dread. Lord, may we grab hold of your word and hear it for the truth that it is and apply it to our life. Lord, may the enemy not have victory over any of us. May we walk in victory knowing that we are in your hands. Lord, be with us now as we face trials, as we face troubles. Lord, as we face good times, as we face blessings, may we not forget about you. May we not, Lord, get to the point to where we don't rely upon you, but may each and every day we rely upon you. May each and every day we seek you and renew our minds with your word. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.